I'm not in the syllabus. I'm not in the thing where I was at. I lost mine. Been gone so long, can't even remember what it was. But take your Bible and go to 1 John, and we'll talk about, you know, we're upon a season. It says, 'tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la. And we talk about the spirit of Christmas and the mood set and that sort of thing. And it is a good time. It's a festive time of the year. One of my answers for about any problem I have is just eat. You get a little anxious, eat. You get a little depressed, eat. While I've been gone, I went to the doctor. You know, they give me a physical, find out if, you know, there's anything they could fix. And he says, what have you been doing besides working? And he knew the answer. It was a loaded question. And I said, well, nothing. He said, no, you've been eating. You weigh way too much. I'm into that bracket where they call you morbidly obese. So I guess they want me to lose 100 pounds. Well, I wouldn't amount to nothing at 100 pounds. First John. So, but this time of the year is a sweet time and a good time. And you got nice colors. And I was on eating and there's good things to eat. And I think people's up against me. I text my daughter. She texted me last night. She was coming home from work. Is there anything you guys need? Do you need this? Do you need that? You need that? And I said, no, we're good. We've eat, blah, blah, blah. Then I text her back and says, I like chocolate. And I asked her this morning, you know, she works all night and all day and then tries to sleep and she's sick. But I wasn't going to let that slip. The chocolate didn't make it home. And I said, did you get the text I text you last night that I need chocolate? I waited up. And she says, no, I didn't get no text. I almost called her a liar. Look on your phone right now. She looked on her phone. She said, it is there. You did text me you like chocolate. I said, hint, hint. I didn't get none. So I'm a little cantankerous this morning. But 1 John chapter 4, I think chocolate just solves about all kinds of problems. I'm telling you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in church today. And glad to have a Bible I can teach from and love. And people that love the Word, be around people that love the Word of God and enjoy what God says. And I wanted to talk about the Spirit and the spirits and being able to discern what's a good spirit, what's a bad spirit, what's a good time, what's a bad time. And it's good to know because a lot of times folks can get into, let's say, the wrong spirit. And as I think about this, John had some things to say about it concerning biblical things. In 1 John chapter 4, it's a pretty pointed scripture as he says, beloved, in verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit. So there's an acknowledgement of different spirits. And we understand, we'll say, well, not of a good spirit today, or boy, they were an excellent spirit today. And you might even say that about a service, that there was a good spirit here today. The singing was spirit-filled, and we use the terminologies. And that not only works for church, it works for other things too. You'll hear professional athletes say, boy, there was just something in there, boy, that just made me perform better. Well, there's a spirit connected with a lot of that stuff. And we're, because we have a spiritual receiver and transmitter in us, because we're spiritual beings, we feel, if you please, that vibe off of that. And you've gone to a football game or a basketball game or something that you enjoy, and there's some kind of excitement and electricity, and the terminology would be spirit in that. And it's the same with performers and musicians and people that play instruments. I heard this old guy, 92 years old, he was a cello player for an orchestra somewhere, and they were interviewing him on National Public Radio, and they said, how, after all these years, do you know that your music is getting across to those people. He said, well, the best way I can describe it, 92 years old, he said, if it sends goosebumps up my spine, it's going to send goosebumps up their spine. And I thought, that's, and you say, what is that? Well, you're a spiritual receiver, and there's something in there that sets the stage, or you can zero in on. And here, and it's true, if you have good singing here, man, let me just use it in terminology, it juices the preacher up. He's ready, man. Now, same if you had bad singing, he might say, oh me, I got to pull this one out. You say, why? Because there's a spirit connected with it. And a lot of times they'll have special music right before the preaching. You say, why? It sets a tone and a spirit to receive spiritual things. Now, if you had a hard rock band in here to do the special right before the preacher preached, there would be a conflict because they have another spirit and he's of the Holy Spirit. You follow what I'm saying now? And it's like trying to put oil and water together, and it just won't mix for you. It's just not going to happen. And so that's why John says this, beloved, believe not every spirit. You say, well, that sounds good, it looks good, but what's wrong? You may not be able to put your finger right on it. You say, but there's something wrong. And the closer you are with the Word of God, walking in the Spirit of God, the more the other spirits will affect you, and you'll know and be able to discern, I think I want to go over here and be with these folks because they're of a better spirit. That bingo crowd, they're having a big time, but men are drinking a lot. And you don't know what they're apt to do in the name of fun. And so I know because I've been down the Bengals game, not to watch the game, but to pass out tracts after they come out of there. Why do you think they cut the beer off before the last quarter? Because when they come out of there, they're hopping and jumping and carrying on. And if their team lost, they're of a bad spirit. And if you're down with a Bible in a suit and tie, and you got a sign that says, I love Jesus, and you're trying to preach to them, pass out tracts, they're liable to mug you. Say, why? That's not keep your religion in church. They're of another spirit. You see what I'm saying? Now, they were having a good time. They were doing their thing, but it was totally another spirit. So the Christian, the child of God, wants to kind of discern, be able to discern the spirits. Stay out of some trouble, amen? And there's spirits today. People say, well, you don't have the Christmas spirit. Well, I hope I do. I've got the Holy Ghost of God in me. You know what I'm saying? Amen? Yeah, well, people's got the Christmas spirit today. I was shopping in the mall the other day, and man, this woman like a run over me with her grocery cart. What was that? Well, she was Christmas shopping. She probably wasn't saved and had another spirit. You follow what I'm saying? Or I was trying to park the other day, and I went all the way around, dropped Jeremiah off at the Walmart because he needed something, and I drove around. I seen somebody getting ready to pull out, and I come around and said, I'll get that place. And I got up there, and somebody pulled in that place so fast, they looked at me like, brother, they could spit nails. I thought, oh, you can have it. I'm good. I'll make another lap. Say, what is that? I don't know. They wasn't of the same spirit. So and people can get in a bad way pretty quick. Sometimes it can just be spiritual. Sometimes they can have something that hurts. They can have, you know, when you're sick, you're not, you see what I'm saying? You might not even feel saved that day if you're sick. And you got to watch. And the Bible says to be of an excellent spirit. And so we have to work on our spirits as well as discern the spirits. Because everybody has the propensity to be of another spirit. The Lord even told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he didn't mean that he was Satan himself, but he gave him a subject lesson in that he was of the wrong spirit. He was of the devil. And boy, that's kind of hitting home sometimes because, you know, we do the Christian cussing thing. I'll tell you what, you know, we don't say it, but they cut me off, you know, so spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit. So when that thing whispers in your ear, go ahead and do it. You better try that thing out. Is that of God or is that of something else? So, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Okay, how am I going to try the spirit? And he says, whether they are of God, beloved, or because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, that gives context to this. And he's likened the other spirits to false doctrines and false teachers, which would be the primary teaching of this verse. But in our case, where we're not so much worried about false teaching as we are of having a good spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest himself through us. So in this age, a person has his hands full simply trying the spirit sometimes. I'm glad we have a Bible to prove all things with. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. So back on the biblical side of things, we want our doctrine straight because there'd be other spirits that would have you to believe other things about the Word of God. We want to make sure it lines up right, properly, it's rightly divided, and it's taught correctly, and it's taught with love and compassion that we might learn how to discern the spirits. And so not being carried about with every wind of or with divers and strange doctrine is a thing that we see, a phenomenon that we see today in churches. You'll have this group that believe this group believe that, and that group believe that. And one day the leadership believes this, and the next day they believe that. Well, it's not wrong to have different walks come in, but there ought to be a consistent pattern from the leadership in the church. You say, why? That'll bring everyone else into continuity with the right spirit. And I'm speaking of a fundamental church. So with those that have come through, you may detect other spirits. What do you believe about salvation? Somebody says, well, I don't believe, you know, just do good and everything will be okay and I'll be fine. That's another spirit. You say, how do you know? Because it's not what the Bible says. You say, well, what do you believe about the scriptures? Just get any old Bible. It don't matter. I mean, you get an NIV, an RSV, JKA. Just get anything you want. But no, that's not right because we understand as Bible believers that the King James Bible is the Word of God. That's of another spirit. Now, I'm not saying they're of the devil per se, filled with the devil incarnate. It's like the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan, because Peter had kind of rebuked the Lord there, and it didn't mean that he was Satan or filled with Satan, but he was of another spirit, and that spirit, if it's not of God, is of the devil. So if somebody says, well, you guys believe what you want. What do you believe about soul winning? Nah, I don't believe in soul winning. I don't believe you ought to tell anybody, any place, anywhere about the Lord. God wants them saved, he'll get them saved. That's a wrong spirit. That's another spirit. So you've got to be able to discern that. What do they believe about water baptism? We baptize here on a regular basis. Yeah, if you don't get them baptized, they can't get saved. That's another spirit. That's not what the Bible says. What about church membership? I just believe when you show up, you're a member. I sing in the choir, I'm a member. No, you're not a member. That's not scripturally right. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, a member is one part of a body joined to the body. And if you've never joined the body, and the Lord's pretty clear about that, he talks about the hand, the eye, and the nose, and how the body is joined and fitly joined together. Somebody said, well, he's talking about the spiritual body of Christ. I'm part of the spiritual body of Christ, so that makes me a member of the church. No, the church is local. And he says that there be no schism in the body. That's for the local assembly, because the spiritual body of Christ, which I understand and teach, doesn't have any schism in it. Amen. So the schism thing is for the local assembly. And when somebody refuses to join the local assembly, they're being rebellious to that local group that calls himself a church. They say, well, I'm a part of the big church in the sky. Okay, you may be, but you're not a part of the local assembly. So don't come up and ask to sing in the choir. Don't come up and ask to sing a special. And you see what I'm saying? Say, why? Because you're embarrassed to be identified with the local church. You're of another spirit. Oh, I was supposed to be teaching on Christmas and have the Christmas spirit. I don't know. But People say, well, why join the church? What's the local assembly? And you're throwing your hat in the ring with that group of people saying, I identify with the Word of God. I identify with the leadership in that church. I identify with the things of God. I identify with the 120 that met in the upper room that were a visible local assembly. That's what you're saying. And you're saying, hey, I'm proud to be a part of them. I'm proud to be a group of them. I taught on membership way back a couple years ago. There were three or four families joined the church after that. You say, why? Well, we teach on it about once or twice a year. Pastor will say something, but you don't always say, no, you need to join the church. Nobody puts any pressure on you, but you should if you believe that book. You say, why? We'll be of one spirit that way. Trying the spirits. And so I'm glad, and I love accountability. People won't join the church because they don't want accountability. But before the Lord, I want to be accountable. So here, when I look at this, a saved person should be able to discern something by the Spirit of God that is in them. And you all have the Holy Spirit of God. There'll be something to bear witness to you today in the Word of God that you hold in your hand that says, you know what, that's right. Along with privileges comes responsibility, and it'd be a privilege to be a member of the local church. When I came here, Pastor called me and said, would you come and help us out down here? We really need you. And I told the pastor where I was at, Brother Joel Greer at Branch Hill. I said, now, Brother Holtz asked me to come, and so I'm going to probably be leaving your church, and I'll be joining down there. And I didn't just waltz off and waltz in. I made it a declaration, and it was so. And they had me come before the church. My wife wheeled up in her wheelchair, and we joined the church that day. You say, why? We wanted to be of the same spirit and of one spirit and in unity of the spirit. You follow what I'm saying? So trying the spirits, Paul said this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can the he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the non-spiritual or the lost man, that's the context there, isn't going to receive that at all. Not that a lost person couldn't join a church. We generally don't want lost people to join church. A prerequisite on joining a church, a local assembly, is number one, that you be saved and that you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, or at least willing to. Now, obviously, there's the Lord's Supper, the two ordinances. You'd be willing to partake of that and understand that. But the people that will give you trouble on that will be those that are of another doctrine or another belief. Trying the spirits are something every Christian needs to know about and practice. We're responsible to know this, that he might stay straight in the Scriptures and before the Lord, and scripturally, if you please, right. To try the spirits, number one, I'm going to say a few things. You should ask, does it confess the true humanity of Christ? You say, well, how am I going to try the spirits down there at the Reds game this year? Is this real? I'm not saying you can't go to the Reds game. Everybody probably ought to make a baseball game once in a while, but don't think that's church. Amen? And there is a difference, and you need to know there is a difference when you're out there. Does it confess the true humanity of Christ? Well, they sang the Star Spangled Banner before they started. Yeah, and they quit serving beer in the seventh inning. I had a big time. I had popcorn and $5 hot dog. Okay, great. But, you see, does it confess the true humanity of Christ? And I'm just using that so we can see the contrast. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 through 3, confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Those that do, I guess I should read it. I'm trying to remember what I said. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. People try to get you to be a part of all kinds of things. You say, well, I don't know if I want to get involved with that. What is your statement of purpose? If it's not Christ crucified and resurrected and sitting on the right, if it's not about God, then you might not want to spend your life doing it. Amen? You want to try and weigh that out. And I just got a list here. Do sports confess him? You know, if somebody confesses the Lord while they play sports, they ostracize them. Who remembers Tim Tebow? Now, I'm not saying he's a great Christian, but if he was or is born again, they give that poor man grief. I mean, any time he bowed his, and crossed, said, and a lot of them do it today, and I'm glad they're brave enough to do it. But, man, they cut him in a hurry. He said, well, he couldn't play ball. I think it was more that he might have been too much of a Christian for them. And, you know, they've got names for those people that claim to be, they call them the born-agains. That's crazy, ain't it? And I know it's a job for them. They have a talent for it. I'm not justified. I don't know how anybody makes that many millions of dollars playing a sport. But, man, we could have paid this building off if we had one of them. I'm trying the spirits here. But anyway, does the media confess of what spirit are they? Does the media confess Christ? Does our government confess Christ? Less and less every year. Do our schools confess Christ? Less and less every year. Amen. And it confess not that he has come. They don't even want to talk about it. Spirit of Antichrist, summed up in one word, Antichrist. And most people don't want anything to do with Christ. And if you're a Christian, just to play it down, we don't want you to take a center stage here at all. And you say, what is that? Well, it's not the spirit of Christ. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Are you seeing now how we need to be able to discern? You say, well, what's wrong? I just showed up at this party. Man, everybody's avoiding me. It's because you're a Christian. You go to church on Sunday. They're of another spirit. You don't fit well in that crowd. Secondly, you might say, does it? I've got to watch the time. Yeah, I'm good. Does it confess the true divinity of Jesus Christ? You know, if you're trying to discern something, and you're joining a club or getting on town council, or I don't know what you could do. And you know, and I know Christians need to be in certain places, and I'm glad for all the saved people that are in some kind of leadership like that. But in 1 John chapter 4 verse 9, he says, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him." And that's in 1 John 4, 9. But look at verse 15 with that. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." Now let's talk about people that do good. Goodwill does good. That's their name, Goodwill. And the Salvation Army does good. I was in Connersville Saturday. I had business in Connersville. I had to go up there. And I dealt some with the Salvation Army folks. They do good. And they say, 'tis the season. Keep Christ in Christmas. But they want to talk more about their good works and their fruit baskets than getting saved by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how about that? So you say, well, what spirit are they of? They're more of the worldly side of things than the spiritual side of things. They do good and they do good things, but they don't want to talk about Christ, and they're not willing to confess that he's the Savior of the world. And I thought, wow, how about this? William Booth founded the Salvation Army way back when, and he was quite a preacher, and his message was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he pointed people to the cross and won hundreds of people to the Lord, yea, maybe thousands. But today, Salvation Army isn't quite like that anymore. It's still doing good, but it's almost of another spirit. And so a child of God, they can't say, well, hey, they're doing good. They're doing okay. If they don't confess Christ, they may just be doing good, but they're of another spirit. You follow what I'm saying? You got to kind of be able to discern that and understand what's going on and why. So Jesus said, I don't know if I want to get into that, but I was going to talk about John 8:58. Does it confess Christ? And by the time you get to talk about Christ, people get upset in a hurry. Because Jesus, they asked Jesus who he was, and he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Why, that religious crowd was of another spirit. They picked up stones to stone him, and he was Christ. So just because somebody's religious and doing good works doesn't necessarily mean they're of the right spirit. You follow that. See, how am I going to discern that? With the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God in you. You're allowed to do that. The Apostle Paul said, "Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good." And we just want what's good. Doesn't mean that you got to malign them. Doesn't mean you got to talk bad about them. But you do have the power within you with the Holy Ghost of God and the Word of God in your hands to discern other spiritual things. And you learn how. You say, well, I don't know this. I don't think I'm going to do this. It's not for Christ. And that's good. That's how you would discern things that you do. John 14:9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That's when Jesus was trying to tell the religious crowd and even his disciples and those apostles that followed him, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And they struggled with that. You say, why? Because they tend to be of a religious spirit, but not of a Holy Spirit. You follow? There's different things. And so even today, it's a time of many different spirits. So if it doesn't believe that Jesus is God, it's not of God. Amen. So, oh, they were religious. They were Pharisees. They were Sadducees. Yeah, but they didn't think he was the Son of God. They thought he was the son of Joseph the carpenter. And that was the religious crowd of the day. I hate to say this, but a lot of religions today, listen to me, do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. You say, well, what is that? They're of another spirit. And you're allowed to discern that. You say, how? With the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that's in you when you're saved. Now, a lost man, he might not get it. Oh, they're all religious. They all got Bibles. They all got churches. You know, they even help the poor and they feed the homeless, blah, 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 blah. Look, that's all good works. But if they don't confess that Christ is God, they're of another spirit. You're allowed to say that. You're allowed to know that. That makes you spiritually knowledgeable of what God says. Well, I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, I don't either. But to walk straight before the Lord as a child of God and to commune with him day by day, who are you going to side with? The world of another spirit, religion of another spirit, or God, the Lord Jesus Christ of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to stay with the Holy Spirit and God. And I let the world go its way. You got to live in the world doesn't mean you got to be of the world. So I'm not for doing every worldly thing that comes down the pike. You say, why? It doesn't manifest Christ. You know, I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of something that manifests Christ, loves Christ, preaches Christ. So I said, does it confess the true divinity of Jesus Christ? We're understanding how to discern spiritual things. Does it confess the vicarious one-way atonement of Jesus Christ? Just a number of tests here. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the son to be the savior of the world. And my question was, if you're trying the spirits, does it confess the vicarious or the one-way atonement of Jesus Christ? If it doesn't, it says, no, there's a couple ways to get to heaven. No, no, they may be good folks. They may be feeding the homeless. They may be giving gift baskets and fruit baskets. I don't know. They may be in the Christmas spirit, but they're not of the Spirit of God. They're of another spirit. Oh, they're good people. They pray before they eat. If they're preaching another way to heaven, they're of another spirit. You say, that's mean, that's hard. No, that's Bible. That's what keeps you close to God and not close to the world. And on the other hand, most people are close to the world and not close to God. You say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying, let's live close to God. Let the world go. I sing that old song, stop the world and let me off. I don't know. Tom will know every word to that song. Yeah. As a Christian, I feel like that once in a while. Stop the world and let me off. I couldn't remember a word to anything like that. If I can't read it, I can't say it. Don't sing no more yet. Does it confess the vicarious or the one way? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's not by Muhammad. It's not by Allah. It's not by any of these others. Well, those are good people. I'm not debating whether they're good people or not. A lot of good people lost and need a Savior. Nicodemus was a good man, but he thought Jesus was a teacher and came to him by night because he was ashamed. But Nicodemus come to himself and then came to the Lord. First time your Bible says that he was born again. Nicodemus asked the age-old question, how then can a man be born again? And Jesus explained to him what he needed, a spiritual new birth. Say, why? He was of a wrong spirit. He was of a dead spirit, if you please, and needed a quickening spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. So we can do this. We can prove this. We can try the spirits. We can live close to God if we want to. Just because somebody invited you to the Christmas program down at the convention hall where they're line dancing and playing all that stuff doesn't mean you got to go. They're gonna sing one spiritual song. Well, that's good, but it's probably of another spirit. And you'd probably get along better sticking close to Jesus. Okay, let me say this. Does it tend to worldliness and love of the outward? Now, this is a good thought because it's a good way to prove what spirit it's of. And that verse is 1 John 4:4. Are ye of God, little children, and have overcome him? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I love that verse. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So if you're trying to try the spirits on, what should I do about this situation? A question is, does it tend to worldliness and love of the outward? And the outward is the love of the flesh. If it does, always speaking of the world, always excusing the world, always accepting her ways, then it's of another spirit. And the Bible clearly says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world. And that's a challenge for the child of God. Probably should be marked in all of our Bibles. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not wrong to have worldly possessions. Listen to me carefully. It's not wrong to work hard and have a few toys. It's not. But it's wrong to chase after all those things and leave your Lord and Savior out. Because a person that has a few things, and if he's saved, generally knows where he got them. And he's beholden unto the God that allowed him to have them. And we get over, but if we go the world's way and all we can see is whatever it is that mesmerizes us, we'll turn our back on Christ every time. So if you have two nickels to rub together, thank God for it and walk with him. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man, but he wasn't too rich to beg the body of Jesus when he wanted to anoint him with spikenard and all the spices and give him a decent burial. One of the few rich men in the Bible that speaks of a man knowing Christ. So love not the world. So if it tends of worldliness, tends of the outward flesh and things, then it's of another spirit. Worldliness wants in the church every day we come. This is the spirit of Antichrist, or it's against God. If you read 1 John 2 and verse 16, I read verse 15, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Those three things there, the flesh, the eye, and the pride of life, represent the three main pagan gods all out through ancient history. Balak and Baal worship, Ashtaroth, pagan gods and idolatry, and there's one more that I can't say right now, Moloch, there it is, Moloch. And if you study those three ancient gods, you'll find that they line up with the flesh, the eye, and the pride of life. You'll find every primitive society that is in idolatry will be hung up on flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. And they'll be following after the god of Moloch or one of those three gods that I talked about that you study. And that's a sobering study when you go, so what is it? It's another spirit. It's another spirit. But we're allowed to discern the spirits and try the spirits. Now, I'm totally out of time. There's 50 people in the vestibule. Somebody's trying to park cars right now. They're milling around in the back. People's going to the restroom, which is fine. But I think we'll quit right there. I was going to say, do the deeply spiritual-minded people that you know agree with it? If they don't, that might be a good place to ask them why. Does it witness to the spirit of divine love? Does it accord with the teaching of God's Holy Spirit? Those would be questions that you would ask when you're trying to discern the Spirit in spiritual decisions and any decision that you have in your life as a spiritual being. Thank you for listening, and we'll pick up something again next time we're in. To thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you, and be of the right spirit today. I'm glad that you are. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, your wonderful word. Thank you for your wonderful Spirit. And Lord, let us be of one spirit, one mind. Bless the preaching hour, bless the song service, especially Brother Bruns and his family in this hard time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.